Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Have you been dieting, trying to lose weight? Stop! Read this article before you drop any more pounds. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is May 13th, 2013. And we have got a two-day fitness article that begins on page 24 in your Advanced magazine. The title is Weight Loss Out, Fitness In. And at the top of the program, I had said if you were dieting, trying to lose weight, that you might want to just stop everything right where you are and read this article, certainly listen to our program today and tomorrow as we talk about this this idea, weight loss out, fitness in. And the reason it might be important to everybody out there who is concerned about their weight is there might be too much emphasis on losing weight and not enough emphasis on getting exercise. And you know, I've certainly seen that through the years. Our culture, society emphasizes weight loss, emphasizes maybe the importance of being skinny, certainly through advertising. You know, that's emphasized as far as models being rail thin or people who might be obese or overweight not being attractive. That is a cultural, theme. And all of that, you know, maybe for appearances might be one thing, but health-wise, it's not really the best thing for everybody. And there's been too much emphasis on losing weight, not enough on exercising. So I've got an interesting panel today to discuss this very important topic. And first off, let me get to Lois Fisk. She's here in the studio with us today. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Bill. Hi, listeners. You're going to have to put up with my voice today. I'm obviously maybe getting a little too much fitness outside and got a little bit of a cold. So
yeah, I can tell that in your voice.
Yeah, my voice is sounding a little different for our listeners today.
All right. Now, Lois, I know that, you know, weight loss and fitness are both a concern for you and your husband, Michael. Now, you know, have you gotten caught up maybe in the past too much worrying about weight loss?
Definitely. I think, especially in my 20s, I think there's a lot of emphasis on being, now even more so, what you said, rail thin.
Yeah.
And I can remember feeling like you had to be really thin, you had to be this size, mm-hmm. and yeah, just getting caught up with that. But a lot, I would think, in my 20s, maybe early 30s.
Yeah. Well, and we've both been here in Asia for about 10 years.
That's right. And we're both the same age, too, Bill.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's true in America as far as there's this fanaticism about dieting and losing weight, but also that fanaticism or that, you know, extreme and, you know, interest in losing weight exists here in Asia, maybe even more extreme because we often see some young ladies who go to extreme measures to lose weight, almost the starvation diets, smoking cigarettes, trying to lose weight, and without really understanding that worrying about weight is extremely unhealthy.
Right. You know, I can even think of an incident with a friend of my mom's. Her daughter was getting married, mm-hmm. and I can remember for months she was living on coffee and lettuce. Now, how unhealthy is
that? Coffee and lettuce.
Wow. Yeah. And she wanted to be super thin mm-hmm. for the wedding pictures. Well, she was, and it didn't even look like her.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, there are some dangers that come along with that. And, in fact, our other panelists can help understand some of the dangers that come along with extreme weight loss and also help us understand the importance of fitness, which we're going to talk about. We've got three nursing students here from Northwest University in Seattle, Washington, and they know all about this topic, and I'm glad they are here today. First off, to my left is Marlena. Hi, Marlena.
Hi, Bill.
Great to have you here. Is this your first time to Taipei?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and it's. I'm going to ask all of them that question. I think it is their first time. But as far as weight loss and fitness, you're in nursing, and you've probably seen all sorts of patients.
Yes.
And have you seen where weight loss has been, you know, a problem for some of these patients?
Yes, there's definitely different people that have challenges losing weight and people who use all different techniques to try and get weight off.
Yeah. What do you tell them?
Exercise is more important than your weight. Mm-hmm. Weight is just a number, and so it's a lot more important to have a healthy amount of exercise in your life than focusing on just getting weight off.
Okay. All right. That was Marlena. Kristen is also here. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Bill.
First time to Taipei?
It is, and I'm very happy to be here.
Great to have you here. What do you see as far as and you're all in your early 20s, right? All three of you. And what do you see in people's diets, like with your peers? Do you see healthy diets or do you see unhealthy diets?
It varies from person to person, but especially within our nursing program among the students, there's a lot of quick meals, fast preparation, snack bars, just something that they can grab on the go. So it's hard to really get those natural nutrients in.
Okay. And you are people who are more aware of our health. So, and even that you struggle with getting a proper diet. So you can imagine other students who are not majoring in nursing but are majoring in other things at universities and who are unaware of what their diets are like.
Exactly.
What do you have for breakfast?
I try to grab something that's still good for me but quick on the go. So a piece of fruit, a banana, as well as maybe like a just a oats bar, something with grains in it and wheat.
Okay. Marlena, what do you eat for breakfast?
A lot of times I wake up and actually make an omelet, eggs and vegetables. But if it's a day that I wake up late, I grab fruit or some kind of health or energy bar.
All right. And our third nursing panelist here, Kylie, what do you have for breakfast, Kylie?
Well, I usually try to have egg or some sort of protein to get my metabolism going. And usually if I'm on the go, it might just be like a coffee or like oatmeal. If I can't get that protein in, but I definitely feel the effect of that if I don't get the protein in the morning.
You know, there's a reason I ask that because I always tell people breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It starts your day off right. But I know here I normally see most people do not start with a proper meal. And a lot of times they'll be drinking a soft drink, maybe a Coca-Cola or some sweet sugar sweetened drink and I don't know what else they're starting with, a candy bar or potato chips, and it's really not the best way. It certainly is not starting your day off well. Now, I want to ask you, Kylie, the opposite. I had asked Marlena about some of the people who are losing too much weight. Conversely, or in the opposite direction, what about people who maybe would be considered obese? What is the biggest issue, biggest problem for them?
I think for people that are obese, it's getting over the fear of not being able to lose weight and getting over the fear of failure. Mm-hmm. Because many times people who are obese or overweight have tried multiple times to lose weight, tried different techniques that might have been the fad diets or different pills. And so I try to encourage people that are obese and they want to lose weight that it's really a lifestyle change and it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight, but not to get discouraged.
Okay, great. All right. Well, glad to have everybody here today. Glad to have you here with us also, listeners. And let's do this. Turn to page 24 and we will have our first reading for today. It will be that left column.
Weight loss out, fitness in. Even for people who are obese, exercise can add years to life expectancy. So, what's it worth to lace up those sneakers and break a sweat for about 30 minutes a day? about 3.5 extra years of life on average, and about 4.2 additional years for those willing to step up the intensity or put in closer to an hour a day of brisk walking or its equivalent, according to a new study. Even for the severely obese, those with a body mass index, BMI, above 35, exercising for about 2.5 hours a week at moderate intensity or for 75 minutes at vigorous levels puts average life expectancy a notch above that of a normal weight person who is sedentary, the research shows.
Okay, weight loss out, fitness in. What does the DEC say there, Lois?
The DEC says even for people who are obese, exercise can add years to life expectancy.
Okay, life expectancy.
Life expectancy means how many years are you going to live on this earth?
Okay, and these are all numbers that are based upon, of course, statistics gathered from millions
exactly.
of people.
Exactly, and a lot has to do where you live in the world, too. Our readers mm-hmm. need to know that.
Yeah, it really does. So people's their life expectancy in some parts of Japan have extreme life expectancy. In other areas, they can expect to live to 90 or 95 years old. And then you can go to some parts of Africa and life expectancy is around 40.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So it is determined by many, many factors, some that we have a choice in, some that we don't have a choice. So it does depend on where you're born and live. All right, so we start out our reading with, so what's it worth to lace up those sneakers and break a sweat for about 30 minutes a day? What does that mean, Marlena, as far as break a sweat?
To me, when I think of break a sweat, I think of working out at a level and intensity that you begin to perspire.
Okay, all right. Now, how often do you break a sweat?
I try to work out every day.
Yeah.
Usually, I end up working out maybe 3 to 4 days a week.
All right. Kristen, how often do you break a sweat?
I break a sweat pretty easily, so it's...
right before I take a test.
Yeah. I'm sweating all the time. I'm from Arizona.
Okay.
So I have tried to work out during lunches, like just whatever breaks we get during school. So usually, it just takes about 15, 20 minutes and... Okay. I feel like I've gotten a good workout in.
Kylie?
I try to work out about 3 times a week. Sometimes some weeks are harder than others, but I'm the same. It's pretty easy to break a sweat when you're working out mm-hmm. at a certain intensity.
As far as you know, maybe you're aware of it, there's a lot of people that actually don't like to break a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to. They think it's unattractive or whatever. Now, the sweating actually... release toxins from the body?
It does. It is one of the body's ways to release toxins through the pores in your skin, which are little tiny, tiny holes at the surface of your skin where the sweat, it's like a water, can be released from your body.
Okay, so there are a lot of benefits to this. So now, Lois, this is interesting. I see there in line 3 about one of the big benefits of this.
Yes, we're talking about in line 3 here about increasing your life. So it says here that you can about 3.5 extra years of life on average and about another 4.2 additional years for those willing to step up the intensity of their exercise.
Okay, yeah.
And I know for me, I'm always reminded by my 25-year-old son, Mom, you got to break a sweat.
Yeah.
So when I go for my power walks, which I try to do several times a week, I like to do them 6 times a week if I can, I know I have to break a sweat. So when I'm doing that, Bill, I often am having a path, a walk that I'm on an upgrade so that I really do break a sweat.
Yeah. Okay. And it's something you mentioned we'll get into. Just even walking can be beneficial. And it's amazing to see the amount of time that you can add to your life, just even with some even moderate exercise here. And then we say you can add even more time by stepping up the intensity or increasing the intensity. What does that mean, intensity, Kylie?
Intensity means the level at which you're working. So for exercise, for it to be productive, it's good for the intensity to be at a level where you're not able to talk to another person, and because of your heart rate is up, mm-hmm. and also that will cause your breathing to go up.
Yeah. Yes. That's a really good point. It's not just the strolling along, but it's actually walking at a pace where you really can't be having a conversation. And that is actually better for you.
But let's remind our readers with this article, we want you to start strolling along. So if you can just get started, let's start with strolling and then we'll move on.
You're right. Let's just get a start and then we can go. So you can start off, then you can move towards a brisk walking pace or a quicker walking pace. And this information is according to a new study that actually surveyed a lot of people, nearly over 500,000 people. So there is some significant data with this. Now, we look into the second paragraph, and how does that first sentence read there, Kristen?
Even for the severely obese, those with a body mass index, BMI, above 35, exercising for about 2.5 hours a week at moderate intensity or for 75 minutes at vigorous levels puts average life expectancy a notch above that of a normal weight person who is sedentary, the research shows.
Oh, only here on Advanced do we have one-sentence paragraphs. So we specialize in 75-word sentences. So this is – we're going to break this down, listeners. It's a little overwhelming. First, we've got body mass index. And how do we define body mass index?
Your BMI is a number that is calculated by your height and your weight, and there's different categories for your BMI to categorize whether you are underweight, normal weight, or above weight, or obese.
Okay, and we actually have done some articles covering BMI in the past. It actually was a measure that was developed about 200 years ago by a French scientist, and actually was more of a having to do with a study on their society and not so much a study on individual health and weight, but it's come to be used as the measure that medical practitioners use to kind of loosely define whether somebody is obese or not obese. There has been a lot of debate about whether it is still relevant, if they should have a new measure right now, but nobody's come up with anything else better. And it's actually very simple to measure this. So that's why we have BMI. It's a number you can take a look at. It's just a loose guide. It's a loose guide to give you an idea, okay, where am I as far as my height and weight and my age even. So now we see that those with a BMI above 35, that exercising for about 2.5 hours a week at moderate intensity or for 75 minutes at vigorous levels, puts average life expectancy a notch above. First, how would you define moderate intensity, Kylie?
Moderate intensity, I would say probably going for a walk or just beginning to get your heart rate up, just in the very early stages of that.
All right. And Kristen, vigorous levels.
Vigorous would mean a higher intensity that we spoke about earlier. So harder motions, faster motions that really increases your heart rate and helps you to break a sweat, to start perspiring.
Okay. We've talked about walking here. What about things like at the gym, maybe a stair stepper or elliptical machines or things like that? Do you guys use any of them?
Yes. Oftentimes when I go to the gym, it rains a lot in Seattle, so I will start with a walk and a jog and maybe even go to a sprint on a treadmill.
Okay.
Or an elliptical.
For how long?
On a treadmill, I'll usually run 2 miles. Okay. I don't really judge it by the length of time or the distance that I've run.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. If you have these vigorous levels, then that puts average life expectancy a notch above. What do we mean by a notch above, Kali?
A notch above means an imaginary point or position in a comparison of amounts of values or degree.
Okay. So something, just a slight increase, an increase a slight increase, and you can keep moving up a notch. A notch is like a mark normally we have like on a wall or a measuring stick. So, all right, and that will put you a notch above that of a normal weight person who is what, Lois?
Sedentary. So we mean a person who does nothing.
Okay? Sedentary.
Sedentary. When I think of that, I really do think of a word we're going to come across, but is definitely a couch potato.
A couch potato.
Yeah. So they're okay. Sitting there on the couch or laying on the couch, and we might call them couch potato, but they're often eating potato chips too. So there you go.
If they're in Paris, would we call them a French fry?
I don't know. I don't know. People in Paris don't seem to be obese.
I don't know about Paris, but we're here in Taipei, and we're going to get on with our second reading.
Time to get off the couch. The study published by the journal PLOS Medicine sounds a loud wake-up call to healthy weight couch potatoes who believe their good BMIs will ensure them a long life. Even for people with a BMI between 20 and 25, those who told researchers they were physically inactive were far more likely to die in the next decade or so than were overweight or obese exercisers. This finding may convince currently inactive persons that a modest level of physical activity is worth it for health benefits, even if it may not result in weight control, the study authors wrote. The results also offer clear evidence that exercise can offset some of the longevity loss that comes with past or continued tobacco use, or a history of cancer or heart disease. Among those groups, getting even a modest amount of physical activity restored between 2.5 years for current smokers and 5.3 years for cancer patients of lost life expectancy. And getting more or more vigorous exercise added even more time.
Okay, time to get off the couch, and we're learning about the importance of getting exercise, focusing on fitness instead of just losing weight. This comes from a study that was published by the journal PLOS Medicine. It sounds a loud wake-up call. What does that mean, Kristen, a wake-up call?
A wake-up call can usually be referring to a shocking event that changes the way many people think.
Yeah. Okay, normally we have a wake-up call to wake us up. Maybe we're at a hotel, we have to get up in the morning, and the front desk will call us and wake us up. But this, in life, a wake-up call is something that gets your attention and makes you change your thinking and your behavior. We're trying to change the thinking and behavior of healthy weight couch potatoes. What is a healthy weight couch potato, Callie?
A healthy weight couch potato would probably be considered someone whose BMI is within the normal range.
Yeah, okay. They might not be considered. You might look at them and say, oh, they're not fat. They look okay. So they think, well, I'm okay, so it's all right for me to lay around on a couch a lot.
Yeah, Bill, we kind of talked about that just before we came on the program today, that you might be like kind of soft fat and not muscular. So you're not really that okay, even though you think, I look pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So even for people with a BMI between 20 and 25, those who told researchers they were physically inactive, they were far more likely to do what, Marlena?
To die in the next decade or so than those overweight or obese exercisers.
Aha. So a lot of people may think they look okay and everything's cool, but actually if they are not exercising, then they actually run the risk of dying.
That's right. Because I wonder where their fat's being collected, Bill, that they're not showing.
Well, we're going to learn about that as we continue through today and tomorrow. Now, in the next paragraph, we hear from one of the study authors, and what's the first part of what they say here?
Interesting here, Bill. It says, this finding may convince currently inactive persons that a modest level of physical activity is worth it for health benefits.
Okay. All right. So currently inactive people, the people that are, there's tens, millions, hundreds of millions of people, right, that just are like, all of us go to work every day, maybe sit at a desk or do something, where we're not too active, and then we go home and we eat and then just kind of lay around, right?
Right.
Watch TV, don't do a lot.
And always drive a car and never walk.
Yeah, okay. So this study will hopefully convince these people, which is a large part of our population, that a modest level of physical activity is worth it. What do we mean by modest, Kylie?
Modest refers to something that is limited or moderate.
Okay, so kind of a medium
range
of activity. So, and it'll be worth it for health benefits. Even if it may not do what, Kristen?
If it may not result in weight control.
What does that mean?
So that means that even though it may not result in being able to control your weight, to go from a higher weight to a lower weight, it's still a benefit.
Yeah. Okay. This is to move people off this idea that I need to lose weight. The more important thing is I exercise. Don't worry about that number going down. All right. Next paragraph says the results also offer clear evidence that exercise can do what, Kylie?
Offset some of the longevity loss that comes with past or continued tobacco use.
Okay, first, longevity loss. What do we mean by that?
Longevity loss means over a lifetime how much you're going to lose.
Okay, as far as the years on your life. So we can offset some of that time that we're losing and that comes with past or continued tobacco use, people smoking or chewing tobacco, or that have a history of cancer or heart disease. Among those groups, getting even a modest amount of physical activity did what, Marlena?
They restored between 2.5 years and 5.3 years of their lost life expectancy.
Interesting, for current smokers.
Yeah, I found that very interesting, Bill. I was surprised.
People who still smoke,
yes.
Even if they exercise, they can realize a benefit from this.
They must be increasing their lung capacity or something.
Wow. So, of course, we want people to quit smoking, but this is even beneficial for people who do smoke. And it's amazing, 5.3 years for cancer patients they can regain. That's a big number that they can get. And what is our last sentence of today, Kristen?
And getting more or more vigorous exercise added even more time.
Okay. So what we're saying is those numbers up above, 2.5 years and 5.3 years, were on a modest amount, a medium level of exercise. You can add even more time if you are even more active just by adding a little more time or a little bit more intensity. All right. Great topic. I think it's relevant for everybody, all of our listeners. So thanks for being here today with us. Come on back tomorrow. Till then, this is Bill.
Marlena.
Kristen.
Kylie.
And Lois.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.